And we'll invite our minister, Reverend Park, just to come down to bring God's word to us this evening.
Turning tonight to Genesis chapter 19, as we come to God's word. Thank David for leading the service tonight. Really appreciate that. It has been a busy time. This week has been very busy indeed. And there's been much on as we think of the various meetings and the circumstances of the congregation with sickness and with death coming. But we look to the Lord tonight that he will give us grace and help as we come to read the scriptures and seek to bring the message. We've sung tonight one of my favourite hymns, and it expresses the desire that we have in our hearts for all of our homes. If you're a Christian father or mother in this meeting, surely you can identify with what we've been singing. These are the circumstances that we want in our homes. This is the kind of atmosphere that we desire with all of our hearts. Because we're going to read about a family tonight. Read about different families in the scripture. But here's a family, and it's not the family that we want to pattern our families on. We don't want this kind of a family. It's the family of Lot. I want to think tonight about the daughters of Lot. I want to think maybe about the sons of Lot. Maybe he had sons. We're not told specifically, but it's very possible that he had the sons and the daughters of Lot, the family of Lot. And I trust that God will speak to our hearts. Genesis chapter 19, we'll break into the chapter at verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. We'll end the reading at verse 29. Shall we bow together in prayer? Lord, we thank thee for thy grace that has been with us today already. For help given from the early morning prayer meeting, through the Sabbath school and Bible class, our worship service, the funeral meetings today, and Lord, now in this meeting, gracious God, come and still our hearts. Give us attentiveness. Drive sleep and sloth away from our minds and bodies. We've been reading one of the most solemn passages in all the Bible. And Lord, we ought to sit up and think carefully about what the Lord is saying to our hearts in a passage like this. We pray that we will have hearts that are teachable, pliable in the hand of God. Direct us in the Scriptures. Give us wisdom. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit as I minister thy word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you tonight about a family in the Old Testament Scriptures that ended in tragedy. It is one of the saddest stories in the history of all the divine record. A terrible destruction of fire and brimstone falls upon the cities of the plain due to gross sin and perverse immoral behavior. And this family is involved in the overthrow. And the ungodly of its members perished or were otherwise wrecked and ruined in life and very possibly in eternity. A wife dies unconverted. A father escapes with the skin of his teeth or by the skin of his teeth. Two daughters escape the fire, but their hearts are still filled with the ways of Sodom. And they go on to commit the vile act of incest with their father. And that spawns two tribes that became enemies to the true people of God. The rest of the family perish in the destruction, and they were lost forever in the great eternity. And so the whole story is a record of disaster, defilement, and destruction. And we say from the very depths of our hearts tonight, God forbid that our families would ever turn out like this family. God forbid that we would prove to be poor examples as Christian parents and hinder rather than help our children to Christ. God forbid that our wives or our husbands would at length be destroyed in the great and eternal overthrow. God forbid that our sons and daughters would fall into grievous sin or go on to raise families of their own who go away from God forever. God forbid that our children would die in their sin, marry the unconverted who likewise will perish forever. It's always our prayer, as we sang in the hymn earlier, "Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favour, and gives its heart to Christ the crucified." Lot, the father of this family, brought his wife and his children to live in the wicked city of Sodom. And that was one of the greatest mistakes that he ever made in his life. It was from a carnal, selfish decision from the start. Division, you remember, arose in this family between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. God had blessed them with wealth and prosperity. But it proved to be a problem, and it led to separation. Abraham gave his nephew the choice of the land. "Whatever you take, Lot, I'll be happy to remain in the other part of the land." And Lot lifted up his eyes, as you know the story, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. And out of a selfish choice, motivated by nothing else but prosperity, Lot made that decision. And the scripture tells us that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. I wonder where you're pitching your tent tonight, Christian parent. I wonder where you're leading your children tonight. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And God puts on record concerning this place back there in chapter 13 and verse 13. "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." That's this city of Sodom, and yet Lot is pitching his tent towards it. And it's not long before we read of him coming to dwell in the city. He comes to live there, brings his family there, into the sinful, wicked city of Sodom, and he sets up home. And by the time we reach Genesis chapter 19, Lot is sitting in the gates. We didn't read the verse, but the opening verse of the chapter tells us when the two angels came in the evening time to the city, that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. The story that unfolds in this chapter is one of unspeakable sorrow and calamity. The angels who came with a message of warning, are entertained in the home of Lot. And the men of the city come knocking on the door. And this is what they say: where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. That knowledge that they were seeking was carnal knowledge. It is generally accepted by the experts who write that what this actually refers to is the sin of homosexuality. So when the men are saying, we want to know these men, they were wanting to know them in a sexual way, in the sin of homosexuality. Lot has become so affected by the perverseness of the city that he chooses the lesser of two evils. In fact, what we read in verse 7 really amazes me. And verse 8, Lot says, I pray you, brethren. You notice that he's even calling these wicked people brethren. That's how closely aligned he's become in society there in Sodom. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. How or why this father could ever think in such a way or make such a suggestion that he did, I will never be able to understand. I know that it was the custom of that land to protect those that were under your roof. But how he could offer to these wicked men his daughters for prostitution is something that really amazes me. Well, the Lord was merciful and the angels intervened. Lot is taken back into the house by the angels that have been sent. The men that are seeking admittance and seeking the men are struck with blindness and they weary themselves to try and find the door. The angels have come to destroy the city. But first the offer of mercy must be given, and given to the family of Lot. No doubt this was for Lot's sake, a righteous man, and also an answer to the prayers of his godly uncle, Abraham, who has been interceding. That's what you read about in the previous chapter, where Abraham is standing before God. He's interceding with God that the Lord would spare the city of Sodom from the destruction that was coming. But now the destruction is looming. In a few short moments, the deluge of divine fury would fall upon Sodom and the other cities of the plain. The message was delivered: get out and bring your family out. Escape for your life. Go quickly. Do not delay. For whatever reason, Lot lingered for a little time. Maybe it was to take a few extra moments to plead and reason with his family members. He knows the destruction is coming. He knows that the fire is going to fall from heaven. The angels have spoken about this. And maybe he lingers just to plead one last time with his family. We don't know. And we don't know for sure how many were in Lot's family. We know about his wife. We know about the two daughters that are mentioned here. We know that he had sons-in-law. But the angel does ask the question, hast thou any besides? The wife of Lot and his two daughters, it would seem, lived in his home. Is there anybody else, any besides these individuals? And the angels mention son-in-law, thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, indicating that there were probably others in the family of Lot. We will never know this for sure, but certainly he had two unmarried daughters, and it looks as if he had married daughters, and it's also possible that he had sons. And grandchildren too. And here's the urgent message of the angels: bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. You know, my friends, when I read this story and I read this exhortation and warning, the angels tell Lot to get his family out of the city because the city is going to be destroyed. It reminds me that this is still the urgent message of God today. Christian fathers, Christian mothers, have you any sons? Have you daughters? Have you grandchildren? Have you sons-in-law or daughters-in-law? Your solemn business is to bring them out. From where? The city of destruction. Because that's where they are abiding. They are abiding, as it were, in a doomed city. And we are to do what we can, while we can, by all the means we can, to bring them out. May God speak to us as we think about the family of Lot, the daughters of Lot, maybe the sons and daughters for that matter. There's a few simple thoughts I want to leave with you. First of all, I want you to notice that Lot's family was in imminent danger. The angels say, "We will destroy this place. The Lord has sent us to destroy it." These angels were the instruments in the hand of God to bring destruction to the city of Sodom. And this judgment was just about to fall. There was indeed a step between them and not merely death, but eternity. There was a step between them and the great eternity. And sinners are in imminent danger. The wrath of God abides upon those who are still in their sin. The Bible speaks about those people who know not Christ the Savior as being condemned already. We know not what a day will bring forth for any one of us. Hasn't recent events spoken to us very clearly about this matter? As we've thought about death over the past couple of weeks connected to this congregation, people dying suddenly, taking ill suddenly, not recovering from their illness, going out into eternity. I suspect it was an ordinary day when the angels came to Sodom and met Lot in the gate. The sun was shining. The sky was blue. The wind was still. It was a beautiful evening. And the angels were invited home to the house of Lot. They were welcomed there. They were entertained there. But the judgment was looming. That very evening. Oh, my friend, if you can just see it. That very night, that evening, the darkness would come across the city. The storm of fire and brimstone would begin to fall. And destruction would be awful. Our families tonight are in danger. Eternal danger. The storm of divine fury will fall once more upon this old world. Not a localized destruction as it was just in that part of the earth where Lot was dwelling, known as the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other four cities that were involved in the overthrow. Not something that's localized, but something that is going to be worldwide. Jesus, you see, we are told, is coming. And he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us that men shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Jesus speaks of that day when the angels will come forth. The angels came forth to Sodom to tell them about the judgment and to bring the judgment. Jesus speaks of this other day when the angels will also be sent forth, and they will gather the unconverted together and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, there is a judgment. There is the judgment of hell that the Bible speaks about. Oh, dear sinner, in this meeting, without a refuge for your soul, without a covering for your sin, without the salvation of Christ, flee such wrath to come. Get to the only safe haven. Run with all haste to the cross and get underneath the covering of the precious blood. Oh yes, as we look at this passage, Lot's family was in imminent danger. But there's a second thing I want you to notice here. Lot had a solemn message to declare to his family. Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, says the angels. The cry of Sodom had reached heaven. It was a cry for judgment. Such was the sin of that region of the world that really it was crying unto God for judgment. The fires of eternity were coming soon in a very little while. God would rain brimstone and fire out of heaven. The cities would be overthrown and all the inhabitants would be destroyed. There would be none escaping. Lot had the solemn duty to tell his family. The angel says in verse 12, "Hast thou any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." Is there anybody else that you're concerned about, Lot? Is there anyone in this city and you desire their deliverance and salvation? Well, if you have, then go and go quickly and tell them. Tell them what's coming. Give them warning from me. This was an urgent responsibility for Lot to do all that he could for the salvation of those around him. To snatch them as brands out of the fire. And naturally, uppermost upon his mind and his heart was his family. The angels speak about this. Have you got sons here? Have you got daughters here? Have you got in-laws here? Anybody else that you're concerned about? And yes, of course he had. Those who were near to him, dear to his heart, precious loved ones living in Sodom. You know, my friends, if we have found Christ ourselves, if we have been delivered from the consequences of sin, snatched from the fires of eternal hell, it is incumbent upon us to do what we can to see to it that others are brought to salvation, especially those that are within our families. Dear Christian, have you any here besides? Be anybody in your family that knows not Christ? The judgment is coming. Lot had a solemn message to declare, and so have we. May God help us to rise to the occasion and be faithful. But there's a third thing I want you to see. Lot seems to have had no influence with at least some of his family. Look at verse 14. Lot went out of his house, that is, and he spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." And notice how the text ends. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot hastened to plead with his family members, particularly his sons-in-law on this occasion. These men, no doubt, were residents of the city of Sodom who had married his daughters. Now, can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine the urgency of the moment, the sincerity of the message, the pleas and the exhortations that Lot must have given to them on this occasion? God is coming to destroy this city. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He cannot tolerate or overlook sin. He must deal with sin. He must punish sin. And in a few short moments, the whole city is going to be obliterated. Fire will fall from the sky out of heaven, and the people of this city will be consumed. Get out of this place. Flee for your life. Bring my daughters, bring my grandchildren out of this place. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Why? Often we have pondered this. We have asked the question, why did these men not believe him? Why did they mock? Why did they laugh? And we have concluded, and I trust correctly, because Lot had lost his influence with them. There's no doubt that Lot was a true child of God. We would not draw this conclusion, of course, from the story of the Old Testament. You read what Genesis tells us, and in all likelihood you would say Lot was never a true child of God. But when you come to the New Testament and you read what Peter has to say, you will discover in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Peter lets us know beyond all shadow of a doubt that Lot was a just man. I want to read just a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 onwards. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." People of Noah's day failed to believe. But Noah saw his family saved. Every member of his family gathered into the ark. Lot, however, did not see his children and his in-laws saved. Rather, when he spoke about the coming judgment, they mocked him. Why? Though Lot was a righteous man, and his heart, we are told, was vexed, was pained, was sore, was grieved by the things that he saw and heard in Sodom. It seems that he did not live his life right before the people of Sodom. He wasn't like Noah that we read about there earlier in the writing there of Peter. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I don't think Lot was a preacher of righteousness in that city. Yes, he hated the horrible and the pernicious sins of Sodom. They affected him. They troubled him. They disturbed him inwardly. But it appears he said nothing about these sins. And he did nothing. And he failed to stand up and to speak out. Why? Because he himself was a carnal man. He was a man who was involved in the gross sins of that immoral homosexual city. He was a man that lived for profit, gain, and prosperity, the riches of this life. The inhabitants of Sodom, including his sons-in-law, didn't see any real difference in Lot and the rest of the inhabitants of Sodom. They were all living for themselves. Remember the strife in the family back in chapter 13? Remember the choice of the fertile plains of Jordan? The decision based solely upon personal gain and business success? Remember the fact that he pitched his tent towards Sodom? He separated himself from his godly uncle Abraham and the influence of that family, not considering for one moment, it seems, the detrimental effect that it would have upon his family. And he went to live in the city of Sodom, rising, it seems, to a place of authority and prominence. Because you see, the elders sat in the gate. The people that had authority sat there. He fitted in with the environment of the wicked city. His family were settling down there. His children who were there, some of them at least, married and chose to raise their offspring in that place. And he himself, it appears to me, was so backslidden at the time, when the angels came, that he offered his daughters to prostitution. How far can a man of God sink? How much can a true believer drift from God? And even though his righteous soul was vexed daily by what he saw and what he heard, it seems, if I am to read the record correctly, he just turned a blind eye to it all, for he was making money. He had risen to a place of influence. My friend, is very sad. He had influence in the city to some degree, but he had no influence where it really counted. He had no influence with his family. What influence do you have with your family tonight? Do they know you to be a man of God, a woman of prayer, a Christian who loves the Lord and stands for truth? Do they see your faithful attendance upon the means of grace and see and hear your faithful witness to an unconverted world? Do they see Jesus in you? Do your conversations convey the justified state of your heart? Does your behavior proclaim your saving relationship with God, the God that you profess to know and love? You see, these are serious questions. Or do your words, your works, and your ways say something different? Are you more like Lot? Are you, my friend? There's hardly a difference between you and the man out there in the world. You live for personal gain. You make decisions not based upon what is good for your family and your family spiritually, but what is most advantageous for you as far as gaining the world is concerned. And so when you're stirred up by the Lord and you're awakened from time to time about the awful judgment to come, and you go to witness to your children and your family members and your friends, they just laugh at you. They just mock you. Why? Because you've lost your influence. You haven't been living right. I think that's what we learn in the story of Lot. But there's one final thing. With this I conclude. Only two of his family escaped the actual overthrow. Now, we're not going to boast too much in this tonight, because we know the outcome. We know the sins that they went on to commit and the awful subsequent history of the two tribes that were born. But only two got out of Sodom successfully. His wife died in the overthrow, looking back, as we read in the scriptures tonight. His married daughters died in the overthrow. His sons-in-law perished in that city. And if he had other sons and if he had grandchildren, they died there too. They were wiped out in the fire and the brimstone. What a calamity! The greater part of his family We're lost in destruction. That's why we never want to be like this family. That's why we don't want as individuals to be like Lot himself. God forbid that the families of this congregation would ever be numbered among the lots of this world, and to have the majority of our family members perish in hell forever. What are you doing to bring your loved ones to the Savior? Can you go to them? Have you got influence with them? Can you witness to them and they respect you for who you are and the godly life that you're living? I trust that that is the case. And what about you tonight that are not saved in this meeting? The judgment is coming. Whether you want to believe it or not, the judgment is coming. The family of Lot, these sons-in-law, they didn't want to believe it. They laughed, they mocked at it. What are you doing tonight when you hear about the judgment of God that's coming? Are you ready for the great eternity? Are you right with God tonight? For my friend, you need to be. Thank God there's a door of mercy that is open. And that door is the person of Christ and the great work that he has done. And you can enter through by the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at the cross of Calvary. You can be saved tonight from the judgment to come. You can come to know the Savior in this very meeting, right now, where you're sitting. As we come to bow our heads and close our eyes, and very soon bring this meeting to a conclusion, you can come to know the Savior. I say to you, get out of the city of destruction. Flee from the wrath of God to come. And make sure that you're found in Christ. Because we don't want to have families like Lot's family. Shall we pray?